today with the first pick. We're talking our favorite 2024 draft comps, from Caleb Williams to Drake May to Marvin Harrison to Malik Nabers and more. Rick, I'm Ryan Wilson. That, of course, is Rick Spielman. This is episode 144. And Rick, as always, before we get going, how many days? Sweet mercy, it's getting close to the 2024 NFL draft.
Boy, there's no guest for me to do my famous line on. But just for you, Ryan, and Debo, who's behind the curtain today, there are 17 days left until the 2024 NFL draft. And I think about 45 days left till we start our summer scouting school series, which I can't wait to get started on after my eyeballs are ready to fall out from all the tape and film that Debo has required us to do through this long, tedious process.
I think, Debo, that is Rick's way of apologizing for last summer stealing my comp.
One comp out of 3,000. And Debo, I didn't even know I stole it.
Debo found the receipts after last week's episode with BMAC, but after we had quit recording. But it was a sweet victory, Rick. Sweet victory. I don't even remember. It was Kirby Joseph for who? Kalen Bullock? Is that what it was?
Yeah, the USC safety.
USC safety. So Ryan won. Rick, you got about 357 now, so I'm catching up. By the way, 17 days to go. Who's your favorite 17?
I'm going through the Rolodex, and I didn't even look at, because usually if there was ever something that was invented, like a machine that you can actually type in a question and it would answer you, hopefully someday we'll get there. I think it's close, but not there yet. So just going off of my memory, and I may be wrong, did Brian Sipe wear 17?
That's a great call, Brian Sipe. I, of course, looked ahead because
Cyper Bowl. I was there with my Cleveland Brown stuff on. Cyper Bowl all the way, baby.
Brian Sipe, I think he was one of your favorite players growing up? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Brian Sipe was one of my favorite players growing up.
So people in the comments actually do a pretty good job of giving us their favorite numbers of the day. So we'll see what they say. But some other ones, Doug Williams won the Super Bowl with Washington back in the day. A couple guys, guys going to go to the Hall of Fame, Philip Rivers, who I believe you said you were at his pro day. Did we talk about that last week when we were on the pro day tour?
No,
but you may have seen him live. I think
it came up with Drake May working with Philip Rivers.
That's what it was.
Yeah. This off season.
And two other guys that you may have heard of, Josh Allen and Davante Adams.
Yeah. Those are pretty good. 17 is a winner. That's a winning number.
That's a winning number. All right. Oh, I should say quickly, because Debo wants me to bring this up. Thanks, everyone who leaves the 5-star reviews. We've had a run on them lately, so that is very much appreciated, whether it's for the prospect review or just because you like the show. Thank you, thank you. You can also hit the like button, leave a comment, and subscribe to the show as well. And even though we have just 17 days till the actual draft, we're still going to go through all the 5-star prospects. So keep those coming. I think we have a handful left to do, so we'll have some wrap-up prior to the draft for all the draft-eligible guys. FBS, FCS players you want to see reviewed.
Two guys that our names are getting hot down the stretch here. Two DBs. Milton, the corner from Rutgers.
Max Milton, whose brother Bo plays for the Packers.
Yeah, that one's, you're hearing a lot of buzz out there on him continuing to rise.
Can I guess the other one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it, so Max plays, you mentioned Rutgers, he's at the Senior Bowl. Is it going to be Renardo Green?
No.
Oh, I thought it was going to be FSU's Renardo Green. He's also getting some buzz. Who is the other one?
Is it Tyke Smith, the other safety
from
Georgia? A lot of people are generating a lot of buzz about him. And don't be surprised. I don't know if he'll sneak into Friday, but his name is hot right now, to say the least.
So Tyke transferred from West Virginia to Georgia a couple of years ago. I remember watching the West Virginia before he came over thinking, okay, this guy's pretty good. And I think he battled some injuries his first year at Georgia. He was also the Senior Bowl with Javon Bullard. I like Javon Bullard better, but I like both players. Are you in that same boat?
Yeah. No, oh, I do. And this kid played like the star position and, you know, with Nick Saban's system, Kirby Smart system. So, but this kid can play probably a Nick safety type role. And everybody talked about the other safety corner, nickel. But this kid is nipping on his heels, I hear.
And I was surprised that Tyke actually tested slightly better than Javon. I thought Javon played a little faster, but I think I like both players a lot. So that's good. Good for them. All right. So we should also mention, and I'll ask you this at the top, T'Vondre Sweat got arrested for DUI, I believe, over the weekend.
Oh, don't tell me that. I did not.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
So according to Dane Brugler, The Athletic, in his meetings with teams, Tavondre admitted that he liked to party, but he had reined it in because he was taking this seriously. He seems like a good kid. Everyone who's age 18 to 22 does stupid things from time to time. So if you liked him as a day two guy, as a two down player, I don't think he's a three down player because he weighs 366 pounds. What's the draft meeting like when you come in the next day?
Well, it's different with making dumb mistakes when you're 18 to 22. But it's really dumb, or I should say not a wise decision right before the draft, knowing everything that's at stake and you're teetering on significant monies on how high you go in a second or if you drop to the third. And everybody is jockeying for a position right now on teams' draft board. So some teams, just knowing from experience, will take him that was in a category and probably because of that, drop him a notch below. You better call the league, too. I know he's not an NFL player, but that's an automatic two-game suspension, so you better make sure you understand if you do draft him. He can practice in the OTAs. He can practice during training camp, but is he going to get popped the first two games of the season or not? And I don't know that, but that'd be something I'd be calling the league right now on what's going on and will this affect him. Because I don't think Jalen Carter last year had any type of suspension from the league when he went through his situation last year.
I think you're right, which is interesting given the...
Because they're not officially NFL players yet. They haven't signed an NFL contract. They're not NFLPA. So I don't know what it affected them, but I just double-check and triple-check to make sure what, if any, ramifications, if we do draft him, he's coming in.
Gotcha. You're getting ahead of it.
Does he even have to go, even though he may not get suspended? Does he go into the program right away?
Man, so we got a real-time reaction to you finding out bad news. Who used to deliver the bad news to you when you were a GM?
Oh, it usually was our security director.
poor guy.
Yeah. And usually it always happened after midnight. Like I said, my life ever happened after midnight. That's why I go to bed at 9:30 and sleep through. But I don't know how many calls I would get through 30-some years when your phone buzzes on your nightstand after midnight, and you know it's not someone wanting to find out how well you're sleeping that night.
Right, right. That poor guy. I mean, every time you called, you thought the worst. So hopefully you guys have been able to reconnect now that you're in the media and have a beer and not be stressed about it. All right, Rick, let's get to it. Our favorite comps. We're starting with the quarterbacks because every conversation has to start with the quarterback. And I should have had Debo cue up the your comments from October where you said Caleb Williams might be the best player ever to grace this planet. And some people push back on that. You said that he was better than – you have to go back to Andrew Luck, basically, is what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, and I agree with you at the time, and I don't disagree now. I think he's a great player, and I think we have a lot of noise between the end of the season and the draft, and that's why everyone and their brother has an opinion. But your comp for Caleb Williams is who?
Yeah, well, I said it goes all the way back to Andrew Luck back in October when I said that. But the more I watched him and the uniqueness and the way he can torque his body and the way the ball comes out of his hands in awkward body positions reminded me a little of what Aaron Rodgers did. And I've seen that live and in person for a gazillion years.
And he actually said, Caleb did, when we talked to him at the combine, that Aaron Rodgers is one of the guys he patterned his game after, which sort of surprised me because Patrick Mahomes is obviously the one that people jump to first. But you're right. He does have some Aaron Rodgers in this game. And if he plays like 75% Aaron Rodgers, the Bears are going to be very, very good consistently for the first time in, I don't know how long, since the 80s, I suppose.
How about that? When I say that, and then the player, without talking to the player, they bring up the same comp. Sometimes that's pretty I don't think anyone has ever done that with you, but a few times.
Yeah, you're too busy stealing my comps. I can't keep up with it. I got my patent lawyer taking care of
you. 500, but that's fine.
Ruin my good name. Also, I think that Caleb liked you because you gave him the ginger beer. You didn't even tell Caleb that Debo was the man responsible behind it. You just took the ginger beer and you guys chugged three cans of it and left.
Yeah, Fever Tree. If we can get a sponsorship with them, Debo, that'd be great.
Also, I think it's telling, and Debo pointed this out to us after Caleb left the set. Caleb had his ginger beer, thoroughly enjoyed it, put it down next to his chair, and then when he left, he asked where a trash can was. Debo, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick just left all the cans on the floor along with his mess and the spilt coffee on the seat. Does that sound right?
Yeah. That sums it up.
The spill I can't help because this weekend it was a bad weekend for me. I spilled three different plates on myself sitting there eating. We went to the farmer's market on the island and bought this unbelievable breakfast sandwich, the best I've ever had. And sure enough, soon as I sit down, I put it on the edge. I go put it back on the plate, and the damn thing flips onto my pant, onto my shorts, and onto my t-shirt. And it falls to the ground, and then I'm like, "Well, I can't. I just paid $11 for this breakfast sandwich. It's not going to." So put it back on, kind of wiped off, and eat it.
What is going on?
Yeah, then that's like, well, it has some sand on it. You know, you can only get so much sand off it. Then I was like, how can I make this into a positive? So I thought by eating that would help maybe exfoliate my internals. I ate my breakfast sandwich with some sand.
Oh, my gosh. Debo, any thoughts?
No. I was hanging out with my 4-year-old cousin's kid this weekend, and he only had 2 spills. So.
He probably, if he does comps better than me, I think he can replace both of us with one person and pay him in juice boxes.
Ryan, I also want to point out, I feel like it's unfair when you say like you have to go back to Andrew Luck. That was 12 drafts ago, but that's the only person that Rick has ever compared him to, because you can go back 60 drafts before that. And Ryan said Rick said there's no comparison for Caleb Williams. So yes, Andrew Luck, but beyond that, there's no one in history besides Andrew Luck that Rick compared him to.
Okay, Debo, you're trying to sensationalize me again. I don't want to be sensationalized. I just want to say my opinion and move on in life.
All right. First off, by the way, we were talking about Caleb Williams being the first overall pick in October, and you know, there have been various iterations of who goes first. Caleb is still going first, correct?
Yeah, no question.
Yeah. All right, next up, Drake May. We were at that pro day a couple weeks ago. And, oh, is this a new name? I don't remember seeing this name. Trevor Lawrence has been the popular one, but you added another former first overall pick to the list.
Yeah, everybody's been talking about Carson Palmer, so I gave everybody something. But I went back. My original was a lot of Trevor Lawrence. And Pete Prisco ripped me like he does everything, but mm-hmm. He doesn't know football very well, so he can't make comps because he's not out there hustling and shaking the tree down at the Senior Bowl out at these pro days. But I always went back to the Trevor Lawrence because of the size and because he's a good athlete who can make plays with his legs. And that I think he does have the same type of arm talent that Trevor showed when he came out of Clemson. Now, he made some poor decisions. And Trevor was much better decision-making before he came out than what Drake May showed this year. So when I'm trying to make these comparisons, I'm trying to find little physical things that are very similar. But I do understand. So before people start ripping you, because I don't know if they know how to get a hold of me, which is great.
Smart.
Yeah, since I don't know how to do the YouTube thing or this device that people are talking about that you can actually look up answers on. But I just think that he has some of the similar physical traits that Trevor had when he came out.
So what about the Carson Palmer connection? Because that feels – he's a better athlete than Carson, right?
Yeah, I think but I think arm strength, and I think that kind of stood out to me a little bit at the pro day after we watched the ball come off his hands live, that yep. He has more than enough arm talent. And I thought Carson Palmer had really strong arm.
Let me ask you this. So let's say that the first 3 seasons of Drake May's NFL career are very similar to Trevor Lawrence's. Is that good enough? Is that a disappointment? Because Trevor has not fully met expectations. He's had some flashes, but I think most people would say that he could have done more.
Well, in today's world, then it's no. But I do think Trevor's going to be a really good player. And the way he finished, and I don't know what happened last year, why he took it seemed like he'd take a step back, because the way he finished the season the year before and the big comeback against the, was it the Chargers that year, where they were down?
Yeah. Four touchdowns
in the second half, and then he seemed to take a step back. But a couple people, I won't mention their names, not me, but felt that Trevor Lawrence was going to be up for MVP discussion through training camp last year.
I looked up Carson Palmer's workout numbers from his draft class 2003. 6'5", 232, so he was an eighth of an inch taller than Drake May, and Drake weighed 227 at the pro day a few weeks ago, so only 5 pounds heavier, which is crazy. By the way, what do you think Carson ran at his pro day, his 40 time?
I think it surprised people. I think he ran in the 4.7s, if I remember.
4.65.
Yeah.
That's moving. All right. Better athlete than I gave him credit for. He was a pocket passer through and through. But all right, my comp quickly for Drake, and this is less physical and more just build up through the draft, is Justin Herbert. And by that, I mean Justin didn't have a great final season at Oregon. He was much bigger. He was 6'6", 236. He ran a 4.68 at the combine. But the expectations weren't met that final year at Oregon, and I had real concerns about, if you can't play behind a really good offensive line at Oregon, how's that going to translate? And it translated pretty well. It turns out he's big and strong, and he has the best arm of anyone in this first round conversation, I think, right?
I don't know, but I think he was a little underrated as an athlete too, because what his last game against, was it Utah in the Rose Bowl?
He ran all over the place.
Yep.
So I think you have to be, and the other thing, and this is different than Justin, Drake's only played 2 years. The other quarterbacks in this draft class, many of them have played 3, 4, 5 years. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't pretty at times. I don't know. Like, if you told me he went 6 overall to the Giants, I'd be like, okay, I get that. I don't think he goes. You think he goes 2?
I do.
Oh, okay. Because I think
Jay. Then you asked me that question, and I was a little judgmental on that question when we were sitting outside the North Carolina facility.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're so judgmental, I can't keep up with all the judgments. The day before, though, in Baton Rouge, before our car broke down, you were high on Jaden, but you had the caveat that you reserved judgment until we got to Chapel Hill. All right. Carson Palmer, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert. Those are the comps for different reasons. And finally, Jaden Daniels. And we've talked this one to death. I don't know if you have a different one than Lamar. It feels like the easy one. And I went and looked Lamar's numbers up real quick. Lamar wasn't that much heavier. He was half an inch shorter at the combine, 6'2 and a quarter, but he weighed 216, and Jaden weighed 210 at his pro day a few weeks ago. Everything else in terms of the hand size and the arm length and the wingspan was similar, but I think the similarities come in terms of their athleticism and space. Who has a better arm?
Jaden.
Okay.
I think Lamar has I'm not criticizing them. I think his release looked smoother than when Lamar's came out.
And Lamar's made a ton of improvements as a quarterback in the last 5 years, however long he's been in the league, right?
Huge amount of improvements. Yes.
So that's the hope. All right. Well, let's do this math. Let's say you're Washington, you're picking second. Would you rather have, you can have Carson Palmer, Trevor Lawrence, or Justin Herbert production from Drake May, or you can have Jaden Daniels, Lamar production. Who are you taking number two then?
I'm going to stick. I'm not changing. I'm taking Drake May.
Okay. All right. Just trying to. You
keep trying to like trick me up.
I was going to see if
you. Unlike you, I'm not wishy-washy. If I am, I am. Now, I don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff on these guys, which my opinion may be true. From what the knowledge that we have, you keep trying to. You're like these reporters I used to sit in front of. Asked me the same question 22 different ways, and I've learned over 30-some years of experience listening to your type of questions that you're not setting me up. I'm staying with what I see.
You know, it's funny, for the first 30-plus years, you were nice to the people in public. I'm the one that's bearing the brunt of all your anger of 30 years of frustration. So just poor timing on my part. All right, we got the comp set for these big-name quarterbacks. When we come back, we're going to hit some wide receivers, some more offensive guys, and we'll get to the defensive side of the ball right after this. All right. Let's talk some wide receivers now. And I will say, Rick, I often try to lift you up when you try to drag me down, but your Brian Thomas Jr. comp might be one of the best comps of your career, your media career. You did really good with that one. Did you ever offer comps as a GM, or was that, you didn't have to worry about it at that point?
Oh yeah, no. We talked about it all the time.
Okay. And how often did you crap all over the comps of the young scouts in the corner?
Probably as much or more than you.
Oh, good. That makes you feel better. It is funny when we see some of the people that you used to work with say, oh yeah, I listen, and it sounds very familiar, the interactions. That makes me feel a lot better. All right, before we get to Brian Thomas Jr., let's start with Marvin Harrison Jr. And let's have this conversation one more time. We'll have it 17 more times before it's all said and done. If you're the Cardinals at four, if you, Rick, are making the pick, Marvin Harrison Jr. or some other wide receiver?
Well, again, I don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. But I was really high on Malik Nabers after we saw him, and he did everything. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't. I think they both have potential to be, you know, whatever, the sky's the limit on how good these guys are going to be. So I don't know if I would lean because Nabers did everything. Marvin Harrison Jr. decided to do his own deal. So coming out of that LSU pro day, I was leaning more towards Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr., although I'm a huge Marvin Harrison Jr. fan.
Okay. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong. We said all the time in the draft where the six wide receivers went in the first round, you took Justin Jefferson in the fifth among the wide receivers. So you never know. Your Marvin Harrison Jr. comp is Larry Fitzgerald. I think that's a really good comp as well. For some reason, I thought Larry didn't run well during the pre-draft process. He ran plenty well.
Yeah, he did. I was at his pro day.
Oh, okay. All right. So
it was in Pittsburgh and an indoor. So before they had the new indoor facility.
And it's 4.48, and that's the pro day number, because I don't think he ran at the combine, it looks like. Man, he hit a 6.94 3 cone. So to be 6'2.5", 225. And I don't think Marvin is Marvin 225, you think?
No.
But yeah, a little lighter.
Yeah, a little lighter, but he is very thin-waisted, but his shoulders are as wide as a screen.
And you and I talked about it a year ago, and I've said it before on HQ and whatever in recent weeks. Yes, Marvin didn't have his pro day this year, but last year, the pro day, he stole the show. I don't even think that's an exaggeration. CJ looked good.
Yeah. No, he played. It was a really good the way he got into and out of his cuts, the way he just snatched the ball, the way when the ball hits his hands, you don't hear it hit his hands because they're so soft. No, he had a great pro day 2 years ago, but unfortunately, if you weren't there, you wouldn't know that.
That's why we went.
Right.
All right. Next up, Brian Thomas Jr., George Pickens. I love that comp. And the thing I'll ask you is this. Let's say the Steelers are there at 20, and Brian Thomas Jr. is available. Do you want two George Pickens on the roster?
Well, don't put Brian Thomas Jr. with George Pickens in maturity. I'm not talking
on field productivity.
Well, if he has a quarterback to throw to him, yes. But I'm not going to take a receiver number 20.
You're going to take a cornerback, if I recall correctly.
No, I'm not. So.
Oh, he's on one. He's still mad about that egg sandwich, Debo. But in terms of the George Pickens comp, long, fast, athletic, is he as physical as George Pickens, or is that something we could see in year two or three?
I think he can be. Yeah. I just think some of the unique plays he made, especially in a red zone, and his size and ability to torque his body the way he torques it to adjust to off schedule throws, was a lot like George Pickens when he came out.
Next up, Xavier Worthy, the world record holder for 40 time at the combine, ran the 4.21. Not surprisingly, he got some first round buzz shortly thereafter, but I think that's come back to earth. I don't think he finds his way into the first round. We'll find out together. But 5'11", 166. Your comp for him is whom?
Jameson Williams when he came out of Alabama.
I don't even hate that. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one, Rick.
I really am going to feel good about myself this afternoon.
You know, the crazy thing is, how much do you think? I'll tell you how tall Jameson was at the combine. You tell me how much he outweighs in your mind, Xavier Worthy. So he was 6'1.5" at the combine. What do you think he weighed?
I'm going to say it was 15 pounds heavier.
Did you look?
No, I'm just using my Rolodex.
179, 165 versus 179. So about 14. Dang, wow. Pretty good. All right.
Do I continue to amaze you with my Rolodex?
For someone who can't eat a sandwich, it is amazing the things that you're able to do in your day-to-day, without a doubt. So Jameson had the ACL in the national title game, I believe. So he wasn't 100% his first year. A little more usage last year, but still not an integral part of that offense. You think Xavier Worthy has a chance to be a bigger impact player? Because I think Jameson's a better catcher of the football more naturally than Xavier seems. You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I think that one of the things Jameson Williams, at least what I've seen when I was up there at training camp, was some of the inconsistency in catching the ball. That's why, you know, not only the speed, because I think they can both stretch the field, but I just think a little bit with the inconsistency catching the ball reminded me of Jameson, and that's why I compared Xavier to him.
All right, Jameson went mid first round. Xavier, does he find his way into the top 32?
No, not with the depth of this. Different draft, maybe, not this draft.
I think I've asked you this before. I'll give you three names. You tell me the order in which you're going to draft them. My guy, Ladd McConkey, your guy, Ricky Pearsall, everyone's guy, Xavier Worthy.
Well, everybody is going to draft Xavier probably ahead of those, but I would take, if I need a slot, I'm going to Ladd, and I like Ricky Pearsall, but I know it's not realistic that Worthy will not be gone by the time those two go.
Yeah, but if you're the GM,
what are you doing? Why do I always have to get put on the hot seat?
I'm taking Ladd, then I'm taking Ricky, then I'm taking Xavier.
Okay.
So I'm taking Ladd.
You just repeated what I said.
I'm taking Ladd top 32. I'm taking him with the Chiefs pick at 32, unless there's an offensive tackle.
I'm just the guy in the corner, and I'm going to be talking to Debo, the owner, here in a minute about that.
I know. Once you ask me to hop off the call.
Rick, what was on that sandwich?
It was a fried egg. It was on a croissant.
Oh, man.
Fried egg, avocado, special red bird sauce, which got a little heat to it.
Okay.
And it has bacon and what else? Oh, cheese, two types of cheeses. It was an excellent sandwich.
How many bites did you get in before it ended up on the ground?
One.
Oh, my God. Listen, I'll tell you, like I used to tell my 12-year-old when he was two, eat over the plate. Don't pick the plate up. Eat over the plate.
I went to lean over to eat the plate to put it down. And when I put it down, the plate was at the edge of the table.
How is that possible?
It makes it worse, just to let you know.
It makes it way worse. Dang it. But hey, man, I give you credit. I would have very seriously considered eating it as well, because one bite in is not nearly enough.
No, and especially after you just paid $11 for it.
Again, to Debo's point, you definitely have a gambling problem. All right, next up, Malik Nabers, the guy we just talked about, saw the pro day, Rick fell in love with, thick lower half, 42-inch vertical, 4.35 unofficial 40, and the list goes on and on. I think he did 15 on the bench press, which is pretty good for a receiver. Do you have any issues at all with my comp of Ja'Marr Chase?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, what's your issues with that comp?
I think that Nabers is a little bit quicker twitched and can bend a little bit better after the catch.
Wow. Okay. That's high praise.
So I think he's a little bit better with the ball in his hands than when Chase came out.
Jeez, oh, pizza, man. That's Caleb Williams type praise for Malik. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to ask you again, coming out. And you have the fourth pick or whichever pick, the first wide receiver off the board. Malik, Marvin, or Ja'Marr? How rank those guys?
Oh, Ja'Marr, Malik, Marvin. Marvin, Malik. I can go either way.
Oh, okay.
I still have 17 days, but Jamar's number one.
Even though he's not as twitchier in quotation marks as in short.
I didn't say it's not twitchier. You're putting words into my mouth.
What'd you say? Not as?
After the catch, Malik is like a running back with the ball in his hands, because he can stop and start on the dime and accelerate. Lamar is smooth, but he's not as twitchy to stop and start.
Okay. All right. All right. But you're still taking him first among those three. That's very interesting. By the way, Malik was 6'2", and Ja'Marr was 6'201" at his pro day. Ja'Marr ran a 4.34, had a 41-inch vertical. So a lot of the same numbers there. I don't think he did the bench press, but I can't imagine. It doesn't strike me as someone who can't do 15 reps if you put him up to it. All right, next up, my guy, Ladd McConkey. And this is the comp I came up with originally. You liked it. I imagine you've since changed your mind. Emmanuel Sanders.
No, that's not bad.
Third-round pick at SMU. Okay, good. I like that.
I think Ladd's a little better. Isn't he a little bigger than Emmanuel?
So 5'11", 186 was Manny coming out, and 5'11", 186 was
forgot. Your comps are like exactly looking at height, weights, and making sure that they are the same.
I don't remember if I did that for this instance.
You do that for every instance.
You could be right.
Go-to.
4.39. Well, I don't have the Rolodex you have. And also, I don't have the 45 guys working in the scouting department help me cheat on my comps like you do.
Where are they at? Are they in the house here?
They're in the guest house out back. Turn the camera around. The Ladd ran the 4.39, which got everyone's attention, and hit 36-inch vertical. And Manny, just for reference, ran a 4.4 and had a 39.5-inch vertical. Do you remember scouting Manny coming out? Because I think I was sort of surprised. Okay, good. At SMU, he went the same draft. In fact, he went three rounds ahead of Antonio Brown in that 2010 draft, I recall. Antonio was a little more raw. What's the talking points? But Emmanuel was a pretty good route runner, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. But everybody was he just a slot? Just like you're probably talking about Ladd. But fast forward to today's game, slots are way more valuable than when they were maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
And Ladd can play outside. Yeah, 100%. Would you play? Well, I know you have very, not strict, but you have rules about this. Would you play Ladd outside? I feel comfortable doing that with him.
Yeah, he can play outside, but I think he's going to be best and more productive as a slot.
Okay, next up, and this one, as I put in quotation marks to Debo, this one will make Rick very angry.
I still can't get my head around.
I knew you wouldn't be able to. I can give you the reasoning first, or I can explain it first, whichever one you want. But Keon Coleman just turned 21, wide receiver out of Florida State, transfer from Michigan State, basketball player, hasn't played football as long. My comp, one of the best players in the Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And you might be saying to yourself, how is Keon Coleman 6'3", 213, and Amon-Ra 5'11", 197? How can they be similar?
Go ahead. I got to hear this explanation.
So I remember watching Amon-Ra coming out of USC, and I didn't love him, and I thought he might be like a early day three guy, which he ended up going. This is before the 4.61 he ran. I think he ran his pro day. That 4.61 is exactly what Keon ran. And here's the similar. I think what's going to happen with Keon is that teams are going to push him down the draft board because of that slow time. And he's going to be a better player than where he ends up getting drafted. And I say that because Amon-Ra doesn't play slow. And he's also good in short areas. And when you see his three cone, it's under 7 seconds, which is good. And I think that's going to be the story with Keon. Now, are they apples to apples comparison? No. My point is that one got dinged for not having a great pre-draft process in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's proved people wrong. I think Keon's going to have that chance. I think he probably ends up going. Do you think he lasts to the third round? Is there a chance that happens?
God, no.
Okay. Because DK Metcalf ended up being the last pick in the second round. And he had the terrible three-cone time as well. But he also ran the 4.3s. I think Keon timed well in the gauntlet drill. We talked about that after the combine workouts with the wide receivers. So that's my comp. It's not an apples to apples comp, but it's one in which we're going to look back and say, hey, Keon actually ended up being better than perhaps we gave him credit for.
And that's what you're justifying?
Yeah, just the 4.61.
Okay. Did you ever watch either of them run routes?
Yeah, one's a vertical guy and one's not a vertical guy.
So how does that comparable?
That part isn't. That's why I said it's not apples to apples.
there are two different types. Keon's,
yeah, of course they are. I agree with that.
Bigger, more physical, a little stiffer.
Yep.
Where Amon-Ra St. Brown plays at the same speed that he runs, but he's an excellent route runner and he is very good hands eye coordinations. I can't see the similarity between the two. One thing that they do, they both play the receiver position. That's about as similar as I can get with you there, bud.
One speaks fluent Dutch, because I think he actually is Dutch, right? I think Amon-Ra is actually half Dutch, maybe. But he speaks fluent Dutch, really into bodybuilding. I think his dad was a bodybuilder. Those similarities also are different than Keon. So the list goes on and on. All right, you think he'll make it into the second round. All right. Is he better than DK Metcalf coming out?
DK was straight lines, but DK can run.
Yeah,
he different could. Speed wise.
Yeah, and Keon's again. He's just turned 21. He was 20 when we spoke with him back in February. I think his best football's ahead of him, and I think he has to be on a team where he probably starts off.
Oh, Sunday, you just wanted to have some time off, so you just started throwing some comps against the wall just because we knew we were going to have to do this on Monday.
Who's your Keon Coleman comp?
I don't have it in front of me, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right.
I can't remember. I had one. I just.
You think it's better than Amon Ross St. Brown?
I guarantee it's better than Amon. I don't think. I guarantee it is. I think mine was, if I remember, Debo, a healthy Cedric Tillman, his junior year.
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah. I think that sounds very familiar. Cedric Tillman played on the same high school team with DTR and Roma Dunze and about 50 other guys that are currently in the league coming out of Nevada. I think Las Vegas is where they're from. Hotbed of high school football. All right. Let's do some other offensive guys. By the way, if anyone in the comments understands the comp I was going for with Keon and Amon-Ra, let me know. If you didn't understand it, just email Rick. Okay. Jackson Powers Johnson. I thought about doing this comp, the one that you had, but the guy that you ended up with is 20 pounds lighter and a little bit shorter than Jackson Powers Johnson, but I think they're similar players. Who'd you have?
Yeah, Creed Humphrey, just because of the physicality and the run game at the point. And Creed can handle some of those big – they're all going to struggle with 360-pound zero techniques or nose tackles on top of them. But as far as creating movement in the run game and being able to anchor in pass pro, I think that's where I saw the similarities, except – You're right. Jackson Powers Johnson is bigger, but both of them can create movement at the point in a run game, which is hard to find in the center.
Did you talk to Creed prior to the draft process?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a better personality than Jackson Powers Johnson? That seems impossible.
No, Jackson's a different personality. He's up there.
I forgot. And Debo, the social team, put this out. I forgot how much he loved cashews and beef jerky. That was his go-to weight gainer, which is also interesting. All right, so Jackson Powers Johnson absolutely does not get past 20, and he may be gone before then. You want to make a dollar bet on that?
I think no. I think
On. You've been talking him up for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. But I think the sticking point is what Seattle does. And if Seattle doesn't move, I do believe that that's where Jackson Powers Johnson ends up.
And then 16. Four picks later are the Steelers.
Then it's wide open.
But you're not willing to make a dollar bet that he's off the board by no later than pick 20.
Oh, I guarantee he's off the board by a Steelers pick.
Oh, that's what I just said. You said you didn't want to make that bet. All right, let's make that dollar bet.
You think he'll fall?
I don't want to know what the Steelers are going to do if they have a right tackle there or if there's those cornerbacks, one of those cornerbacks is there.
Okay, did we not talk about this in the last podcast about when the Steelers offense was rolling, they have some all-world centers.
100%. You got very angry at BMAC.
I didn't get very angry at BMAC. I just said, just think through Pouncey. Who was it? Dawson?
Damani? Mike? Yeah.
It was Marquise Pouncey.
Marquise? I meant Mike. Mike Webster I was talking about.
Yeah. The original. Yeah. And they're going with Arthur Smith, who's going to run the ball. Why would you not? Mason Cole was not the answer. Poor last year. You don't have another center, Herbig, but he's a backup. So please draft the kid and move on in life.
All right. Dollar bet, Debo, make it. I wonder how bad I'll lose in the dollar bets this time around. Not feeling good about him, I'll be honest with you. All right, one more offensive guy. Jalen Wright. We haven't heard a lot about the running backs in this class in general. Last year, of course, we were talking up Bijan and talking up Jameer. But Jalen Wright, he's injury-free. Jonathan Brooks has the ACL. We know Ray Davis, for example, has an injury history. So does Trey Benson. Who's your comp for Jalen Wright out of Tennessee?
I went Melvin Gordon without the fumble issues.
I was going to say better ball control shoot. Yeah.
But Melvin Gordon wasn't explosive and guy in the open field. He couldn't hold on to the ball from a fumble standpoint. But Jalen Wright doesn't have a lot of mileage. Melvin Gordon did have mileage coming out of Wisconsin. Jalen Wright also led the NCAA in plus 10 yard runs almost 25% of the time he touched the ball. It was for plus 10 yards. And he was in a rotation at Tennessee. I think just the football and everything is just ahead of this kid. Can catch the ball, the backfield, willing in pass pro, just needs to identify where the blitzes are coming from. But I think that he's going to have a very productive NFL career.
If Melvin Gordon were in this draft class, would he go in the first round?
No.
I don't think so either, which is crazy. And Jalen Wright, we keep talking about all these second round picks at the running back position. We could see running backs last around three, don't you think?
Easily. Yes. Yeah.
And that's not because they're bad, just because there's going to be so much value at other positions that you may want to fill sooner. All right. Going to take a quick break, and then we're going to hit the defense side of the ball right after this. All right, Rick. I'm going to start. I'm going to go one down the list, and you and I are going to double up so you can get angry at this. We had the same comp for Braden Fisk and Byron Murphy the second. I had Byron. You had Braden. We both said Geno Atkins. I think Geno Atkins is in between these players athletically, but I wasn't going to say Aaron Donald for Byron Murphy because that's not fair to anyone. So I went with Geno, who was I think he went the fourth round originally, and that's because he was undersized. And at that time, you'd like to have fat bodies in the middle of the defense. No disrespect to defensive tackles. So how angry does my Geno Atkins comp make compared to your Braden Fisk Geno Atkins comp?
I don't see that comp at all. I can see some of the twitches and inline pass rusher, but I don't see Geno Atkins holding up at the point as well as this kid did when he came out of Georgia. This kid can bend, he can dip, he can anchor versus combo blocks. I mean, there was one play I watched where he actually went down to one knee and came up through and split through a center and guard and
made out of Texas. You're talking about Byron.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Geno couldn't do that coming out of Georgia. Everybody thought Geno was going to be a situational pass rusher. I think this kid's going to be an every down player. And a very good one.
Like, who's a good comp for Byron? You can't say Aaron Donald.
Grady Jarrett.
I was thinking about Grady Jarrett, but he weighed about 10 pounds.
I already used that, so you can't use that.
Okay. And he weighed about 304, which still is pretty light for the position. He was short, 6'1". All right. I'm okay with Grady Jarrett. All right. Tell me your Braden Fisk.
Now I feel really good that you're okay with it.
I thought that would make you feel better.
It verifies my 30-some years of experience doing this. But
that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard comp. What about Devonta White? Devonta White's not nearly as twitched up as Byron Murphy.
No.
He's similar sized. I'm trying to come up with some names here. All right, tell me about Braden Fisk. Because Braden Fisk is certainly more stout at the point, it feels like, than your description of – no?
If he gets into the offensive lineman's chest early in the down. If not, then he gets punched out of there pretty good. So, but he has to win with his twitch off the snap, and he has to beat the offensive guard, whoever he's over, to the punch. Then he has a chance. But I do think he struggles if he gets, a couple big bodies on him with the combos and doubles in line, unless he can beat him with his quickness. So, but I do think both, because Geno, I think, had 32-inch arms. Brandon had 31.
Very good. That's right. I just checked. 32 and 31. Man, look at you.
And Brandon's probably 2 inches, 2.5, 3 inches taller than Geno was coming out.
6'3.5" versus 6'2" and 7/8". So they're pretty close, half inch or so.
So, but that's where I saw the similarities, because I do see Geno's quick twitch when he was a pass rusher. And we saw, especially, it really was emphasized down at the Senior Bowl during the one-on-one pass pros when Fisk went against those offensive linemen down there and had an outstanding Senior Bowl.
Geno ran a 4.75, by the way, and Braden ran a 4.78. And what got everyone super excited was his 33.5-inch vertical for Braden, which he's a good athlete, but I think that just reconfirmed and then made people feel better about it. All right, next up, Kool-Aid McKinstry ran the 4.
How come you're like, did you even have a comp for Fisk?
No, I didn't do Fisk, but I did. Okay. We both had Geno for two different players.
But you eventually had to have a Fisk comp during one of these. But
yeah,
you got to go back. Don't go back and look at it. Just go off your Rolodex.
Oh, I don't have a Rolodex. Braden Fisk. Who does Braden Fisk remind me of? Well, the problem is that I immediately go to white interior defensive lineman, and that's
Braden. No.
Yeah, that's another. Let me see if I have a comp for him. Oh, My original comp was Geno Atkins from during the season. So I messed up with Byron Murphy. I should have gone with Grady Jarrett. All right, lesson learned. Hey, look, comps aren't my thing. That's what we have here.
Apparently.
Kool-Aid McKinstry next up. Ran the 447 at his pro day on a healing foot. So plenty fast enough. And he was cornerback one coming into the season, had some ups and downs. And your comp for him is who you got?
AJ Terrell. Because I think he can play off. I think he can play press. We talked about it. I don't know when he had hurt his foot, but apparently he had a Jones fracture in the pinky of his toe, which a screw is inserted. Nothing significant, but that can be a painful injury. So maybe that's why he didn't play as well. Similar ball skills, similar length, and similar movement. And I love the both of them, I think, are very instinctive with the ball in the air.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty spot on with the height, weight, too. I won't even bore you.
I don't even look at the height, weight. I'm just, to be honest with you. Although I should start. Maybe that'll ruin my comps like it ruins yours.
I know. I got to get a scouting department. That's next on the list. Debo, we need a with the first pick scouting department to do all my homework for me so I can and take credit for it. All right, now we're getting to the good part of the show, Rick. I got some defensive comps for you. I believe you're going to love every single one of these. Mikey Sanders still, who could end up being a top 40 pick, I think. I think there are going to be some teams at the bottom of the first round, top of the second. They're going to be eyeballing him. Mike Hilton, that's a layup.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, he actually didn't get a combine invite. He was an undrafted free agent, started with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati now, and he's better against the run than he is against the pass. I think Mikey gives you the best of both worlds. But Sanders still actually said in interviews that he patterns his game. He watched a lot of Mike Hilton, and that's a pretty easy comparison to make. Is there someone that comes to mind other than Mike Hilton?
No, I'm not going to argue that.
There aren't very many players that do that. All right, Kamari Laster. We talked about him over the summer, I believe. I thought he was bigger than what he actually measured at. He ended up being under 6 feet and under 200 pounds. He might have even been 189 when he was finally measured. I thought he was 6 feet and change watching him play.
Plays bigger.
Plays outside. He somehow ran, someone clocked him at 4.65 at his pro day. A couple other scouts, according to ESPN's Fields Yates, had him at 4.51-ish. Either way, the guy that came to mind was Darion Kendrick, the Clemson transfer who went to Georgia, ran to the 4.7s at his workout in the pre-draft process. And he was a good football player. He didn't play like a 4.7 player. The Rams ended up getting him in day three, and he started and played pretty well in spot duty given where he was drafted. I think Kamari's a better player and more physical than Darion, but the fact that they had those slow times, you couldn't wrap your brain around. But he plays, and we've talked about Sapuka Nacua. The Rams understand that time speed isn't the end of the world. They go back and look at the GPS stuff. And Rick, you talked about doing that more and more as the technology advanced. You have a Kamari Laster comp that?
Yeah, I didn't go back and look. I can look them up, but keep going with your comps because I argue we'll be here all day.
Michael Hall Jr., the super twitched up. Is he twitchier than Byron Murphy?
Who?
Michael Hall Jr.
He may be as twitchy.
Yeah. He's not the complete player. We talked about him getting too high at times.
Pass rusher.
Right. When he gets high at times, it's over. But when he stays low and uses the center of gravity, he's a force to be reckoned with on the inside. Does he need to gain weight or do you just play him, just teach him better technique?
He can gain some weight, but you'll just, he's going to be a situational pass rusher. Teach him how to rush a passer.
I think he's a better version of Osa Odighizuwa, who was undersized coming out of UCLA. And I thought Osa had a fantastic Senior Bowl. I didn't love his season as much, but I love Michael Hall Jr. a little better as an athlete.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I can see that.
And finally, this is a layup, Cooper DeJean. I'm just stealing B-Max, not your role. They actually measured similarly. Cooper's going to actually run today as we're recording this podcast on April 8th.
He ran.
Oh, okay. So what do you think he ran, Rick? BMAC texted me his high school basketball.
Twitter, Rick.
Yeah. Rick's
going to say he ran in the 4.5s.
Okay, I'm going to say he ran sub 4.5.
$1?
$1.
Ryan wins a dollar.
Yeah, 4.44.
Unofficial 4.43 right now.
That's the face of defeat you're looking at if you're watching on YouTube. Rick, get used
to
it.
Another dollar off me?
Another dollar. I'm up to two.
202 pounds.
6-0 even?
38 and a half. Vert.
Oh, my gosh. He's not getting past 20, Rick.
Yeah, yeah, a little over six.
He has Philadelphia Eagles written all over him.
Boy, Debo would wear my 76ers hat that I bought the other day if that came true. All right. Man, good for Cooper. All right, thank you for that, Debo. Thank you for that update.
When's Brock Bauer supposed to run?
It might be April. I think there's some guys running April 15th, so maybe next week. There are a couple guys left. But he is supposed to run, you think?
I think he said he was going to run.
All right. All right, Debo, do we have time to do my bracket real quick? Okay. What do you think?
Let's hit it.
All right, Rick. So we're going to do this quickly so we don't keep you here all day.
This is
the first overall pick. So every pick, roughly going back since the 60s, because it was hard to come by.
Oh, my God.
So I sorted them by approximate value, which is a metric that Pro Football Reference uses to determine how good they were.
I love when you guys just have these staff meetings without me and then just throw me into the fire. But this is fun.
Yeah, this is fun. So this is our bracket. There's 64 players because I, God forbid, I do something like a normal person. So these are first overall picks, not first round picks, guys who were taking first overall. And by the way, if there's an asterisk next to their name, Rick, that means they were first overall in the supplemental draft because I had to fill out the bracket. So that's why. Okay. All right. First up, Peyton Manning versus Jamarcus Russell. I'm taking Jamarcus. Who are you taking?
Next.
All right. Peyton. All right. Bernie versus Jameis. Bernie Kosar versus Jameis Winston.
Kosar, because Miami, after they watched me in high school, they went and watched Bernie Kosar up the street of Portman.
You could have been the eighth seed in this bracket.
Yeah.
And, Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn was the last wide receiver taken first overall in 96 versus Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
Even though we've seen Keyshawn's entirety career and Joe Burrow's been injured?
Yep.
All right. Orlando Pace, the fourth seed versus Andre Bruce.
Pace.
Yeah. This is a good one here.
Golf.
Jared Goff versus Derek Carr. Debo was right. Terry Bradshaw versus Steve Walsh. Steve Walsh was the supplemental first overall pick.
Sims.
Oh, wait a second. 7 seed Jeff George versus Billy Sims. And Rick is going Billy Sims, running back. All right. Carson Palmer versus Bryce Young.
Palmer now.
All right. That was the Debo bracket. Let's go to the Spielman bracket. John Elway versus Belinda Gay, also a supplemental first overall pick.
Yeah, that's an Elway.
Earl Campbell versus Eric Fisher.
Campbell.
Irving Fryer versus Tom Cousineau.
Fryer.
Ricky Bell versus Joe Namath. Well, let me read the names so people that are listening don't just hear you yelling out random words. Miles Garrett versus George Rogers. You went with Miles, okay. Drew Bledsoe versus Trevon Walker. Who'd you take?
Bledsoe.
Okay, Drew. Steve Barkowski versus Kyler Murray.
Murray.
Wow. Okay. That's an upset. That's a 10th seed. Stafford versus Kijana.
Yeah.
Debo automatically knew. All right. Let's go to, I guess it's a Wilson bracket. I don't know what's going to be the fourth bracket. Bruce Smith versus Clint Longley. Clint Longley was a supplemental first overall pick. Rob Moore versus Clowney.
This is a good one. I'm going to go with Clowney.
Okay. Jim Plunkett, Stanford's own, versus Tim Couch.
Plunkett.
Troy Aikman versus Courtney Brown.
Aikman.
Mario Williams versus Sam Bradford, a young man.
Is that AI typing or is that actually Debo typing?
That's AI Debo typing. That's Debo typing.
I go with Mario.
Okay. Cam Newton versus Dave Wilson.
Oh, Newton.
Then we got Dan Wilkerson, versus Baker Mayfield.
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Mayfield.
Nice. And Vinny Testaverde versus Brian Bosworth. Vinny wins. All right, the Prisco bracket. I got them all four now. Here we go. Eli Manning versus Walt Pelula.
Yeah, Manning.
Pudlusky, my bad. Can't read. Bubba Smith versus Russell Maryland.
Bubba.
Nice. Michael Vick versus Trevor Lawrence. Think about this. Don't just yell out a word.
I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I got to go. I'm going to go with Trevor.
Oh, my gosh. Were you about to type Vick in there, Debo?
I mean, what are we doing?
this is brackets busted already. All right, next up, Alex Smith versus Dave Brown.
Boy, Smith.
Leroy Selman versus John Matuszak.
Selman.
Ed Too Tall Jones versus Steve Entman.
Jones.
Andrew Luck versus Jake Long, and then Steve Young versus Kenneth Sims. Young. All right, back to the Spielman bracket. Eli versus Bernie. Peyton versus Bernie.
Peyton.
Joe Burrow versus Orlando Pace.
Pace.
Okay, thank you. Back to normal. Jared Goff versus Terry Bradshaw.
Bradshaw.
Okay. Billy Sims versus Carson.
Sims.
Devo got ahead of himself. All right, back to the Spielman bracket. John Elway versus Earl Campbell.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I got to go Elway.
All right, don't let Devo influence you. Urban Fryer versus Joe Namath.
Namath.
Did you draft Urban Fryer?
No.
Okay. Miles Garrett versus Drew Bledsoe.
Garrett.
What do we got? Kyler versus Matthew Stafford.
Stafford.
All right. Over to the Wilson bracket. Bruce Smith versus Jadeveon.
Smith.
Jim Plunkett versus Troy Aikman.
Aikman.
Who we got here? Mario Williams versus Cam Newton.
Mario.
Baker Mayfield versus Vinny Testaverde.
Ooh.
Can I just go back to the last one? Is that just like we're ignoring in league MVP?
Yeah. Well, is this my bracket or your bracket?
Look how angry.
I'm just asking. I think that might be some feedback on that one. But okay. Carry on.
Okay.
Yeah, Cam. I was focused on reading the other names. I didn't. Yeah, you took Mario over Cam. All right, Cam might have a few words for you. He's a social media star, so he may reach out to you on that one.
Okay, please. I don't want to be sensationalized.
Baker versus Vinny.
Vinny.
I mean, Vinny. I feel like that's an easy one just because he's played longer. Maybe not. Eli versus Bubba Smith.
I gotta go with Bubba.
Nice. Oh, another upset, Debo. Trevor Lawrence somehow snuck into the game. The ref cheated versus Alex Smith.
Trevor.
Trevor again gets the help of the referees. Leroy versus Ed Too Tall Jones. What a matchup. Leroy Selman. So Leroy over Ed Too Tall Jones?
Yeah.
Selman advances. Andrew Luck versus Steve Young.
Luck. No, I'm going to go Young.
I was going to say, wait a second. All right, we're down to the final eight, Rick. Peyton versus Orlando.
Ooh, why did you put them in the same bracket?
I just went by the numbers and said, you don't have to go chalk. Terry Bradshaw versus Billy Sims. Billy Sims making a case.
I got to go with Bradshaw.
All right. Then we got John Elway versus Joe Namath. What a matchup.
Elway.
Super Bowl victories don't do anything for you. Myles Garrett versus Matthew Stafford.
Boy. I'm going to go with that's a tough one.
It is.
Give me, since Stafford won a Super Bowl, Stafford.
Oh, I was leaning Myles there. All right. Here we go. Bruce Smith versus Troy Aikman.
Oh, man. Hall of Famers. I'm going with Bruce Smith.
Ah, I like it. Like it. Next up, who's that? Is that Mario again? Mario versus Vinny Testaverde.
Do we want him to just win the whole thing?
How are we having a Final Eight matchup of Mario versus Vinny Testaverde?
That's the worst bracket ever, whoever
put that. This is the Sweet 16, by the way.
Oh, Sweet 16. Thank you. Okay.
Oh, boy. I'm going with Mario.
I mean, he's just going to ride this one out, Debo.
Make everybody angry.
Next up, who is that? That's Bubba Smith versus Trevor Lawrence. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Trevor.
Oh, geez. Next up, Leroy Selman versus Steve Young.
Steve Young.
Okay. All right, now we're to the final eight. Here we go. Peyton versus Terry Bradshaw.
Peyton.
You had a good run, Terry. John Elway versus Matthew Stafford. Okay, thank you. Back to reality here. All right, what do we got here? Troy Aikman. Oh, sorry. Is that Bruce Smith, Debo?
Smith.
Yeah, like which Bills pass rusher are you taking? Mario?
All right, Bruce Smith finally takes down the juggernaut that is Mario Williams. Trevor Lawrence.
Like, it was like one of those Cinderella stories.
It really was. Trevor Lawrence versus Steve Young. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to double check because you say some wild stuff. Final four, Rick. Here we go. Peyton Manning versus who's that at the bottom? John Elway.
Yep. I'm going to go with. Boy, that's a hard one. I'm going to go with Elway.
Nice. I love it. I'm glad you didn't pick Chuck. All right. Bruce Smith versus Steve Young.
Bruce Smith.
What? All right. We got the finals. Bruce Smith versus John Elway.
Elway.
Love it. That turned out better than I thought after you get the Trevor Lawrence got the hot streak there. Nice.
I had a couple of Cinderella teams in there. You just can't go. You got to do Cinderellas.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if people are going to absolutely.
Tebow, are you for that or against it?
I think you ended up with the correct champion, but along the way.
Had some questions. All right. We'll see if people like that or hate that, Debo, but I figure I put in the 20 minutes work. The very least we could do is make Rick make some tough decisions. You did pretty good, Rick.
For our loyal listeners that were listening about 3 weeks ago, Villanova not playing in the title game tonight.
Yeah, I did win $40 on NC State.
You could have bought three sandwiches.
Yeah. Hell no. 11, 22, 33. Three and three quarters.
Three and a couple drinks.
Seven.
All right. That's it. Oh, by the way, remember, I should point out Debo. If you subscribe to the podcast, you may have noticed a lot more activity in your feed, namely team-specific mock drafts. We'll be doing that up until the draft. So we're going to hit on all 32 teams. We're past the halfway point. We're even going to get Mr. Rick involved in some of those. So look for those. In the meantime, nice. That's it. You excited?
Be involved in any of them?
You're going to be. I just said you're going to do some.
Okay.
You don't believe me?
Are you doing them all?
Yeah. I mean, the way they work me, do you think I'm not doing them all? I don't have retirement homes and pickleball tournaments to go to and egg sandwiches to eat, Rick. I got to pay the bills here. Got to pay for this dog to go to the vet. I mean, I swear to God, this dog's going to put me in the poorhouse.
Get a shelter dog. They got iron gut stomachs and they're never hurt and they love you to death.
I know. Lesson learned. We did it the first time. Second time we tried to get fancy and it blew up in our face. All right, that's it. Episode 144 in the books. Thanks as always to my guy, Rick. Thanks to Debo for producing and thanks to all you guys who watch, listen, and comment. We'll see you on Wednesday.